All right. How many of you have ever been to Cape Canaveral before? Cape Canaveral. Any? Oh, a good number of you. All right. So let me tell you what happens next week. In the independent fundamental Baptist world, this is Cape Canaveral next week. This is the launching pad that we're going to send out laborers into the harvest. Can I tell you why I'm here? I love this man, but I'm going to tell you something. I am not here for Pastor Chapel. That is not why I came here. I'm not here for Lancaster Baptist Church. I'm here to send the next generation of young people out into the harvest field. And God called me. I am so thankful for the church I have. I am so thankful for the pastor that I have. But next week is really why the Shetlers came here, was to see that. And I want to tell you this. The longer I've been here now, you know what? It's not just about the college students that we ought to pray for. Pray for the fourth graders next week. Pray for the junior hires next week. Pray for the high school young people of this church next week that they would be sent forth. And by the way, members, you better not put your safety belt on either. Maybe God's calling some of you to the mission field as well. And you know what? That's what it's all about, is sending forth laborers. I have two passages I want you to turn to. Our text is going to be found in 2 Kings chapter 5. We'll get to there in a minute, but I'd like to actually have you turn over to the book of Jonah for just a moment. The book of Jonah for just a second as we get started tonight. Now, I felt bad that the one thing I did not come here to this ministry for is to be a pain in your back. That's the last thing I feel kind of bad. I said, yeah, Dr. Shetler's preaching and my back's hurting, man. All right, Jonah chapter 4. So I want to talk to you a little bit before we get started. Three reasons why we don't pray, give, and go to missions. By the way, there's only three reasons for next week. And the three reasons for next week is for prayer, to give, and to go. And I believe that we ought to be a part of all three of those. I don't think it should just be, okay, you know, I'll do my given thing next week to the missions. I think there ought to be a burden prayer. I hope that all of you will get connected with a missionary that you'll say, you know what, we're going to keep praying for that missionary after next week. And that missionary is just going to be a part of our family or a part of my life. And I'm just going to keep praying for their family, for their children or whatever. Prayer is huge. And by the way, every one of us do need to be praying that God will send forth laborers next week. So definitely the prayer thing. Then number two is the give thing. And I want to talk to you about the give thing. It doesn't matter who you are. And college students, can I share this with you? You absolutely have a home church or whatever. But I will tell you, ask the Lord to take a step of faith about what maybe the Lord would have you give as well. Give from your heart. But make sure it's that step of faith. And you know what? It's not about an amount. It's about obedience. That you just take the step. Every one of us ought to give something next week to missions. And we ought to all take some step, whatever that may be. And then, hey, we need to go. Now, whether that go is Jerusalem, otherwise known as Antelope Valley, whether that go is Judea, maybe your unsaved family or whatever, whether that goal is to Samaria, to that place nobody wants to go, or that goal is to the uttermost parts of the world, every one of us after next week ought to be burdened to go. We ought to be burdened to give, and we ought to be burdened to pray. But you say, you know, Brother Shetler, why is it that sometimes that's not the spirit of people? Why is it that people struggle with that? Well, I think I know the answer. I think the three reasons why people struggle about giving, going, and praying is the same reasons that Jonah had. Look at Jonah chapter 4 for just a moment. And in your outline for tonight, you'll see these, and I had these typed out. And I really wanted you to see this as we begin. I'm going to show you the complete antithesis of Jonah tonight. I got a little maid that's got a big message. I've got a little maid that I want you to have the spirit this coming week of that little maid. But I want to show you the complete opposite of that little maid for just a moment. And that was a missionary named Jonah. And he really struggled about the give, the go, and the prayer. And notice three reasons why. Number one, why is it that we struggle with pray, give, and go? I think number one, we are displeased with something God has done in our lives. Now, I want to share this with you, Lancaster Baptist Church college students. I think we should always be getting sin taken care of in our life. I don't know of a verse in the Bible that I live closer to than 1 John 1:9. How about you? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's always my Father. But throughout the course of the day, a lot of times I break fellowship and I have to confess that, get that right, and move on and get that taken care of. I want to tell you, if there's ever a time you need to make sure that you're right with God, it's this coming week. And I'm not just speaking to our college students here. Teenagers, I want to encourage you. If there is something between you and God, there's an unforgiveness, there's a bitterness, there's something that you've been doing. Church members, you will never give the right amount next week if there's something between you and God. You're never going to do the right thing next week at missions conference if there's something between you and the Lord. Look what it says in chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. So if you've got an anger problem right now, if you've got an unresolved violation of your justice system going on, if you've got something going on in your life tonight, I think at the end, I believe Pastor is going to lead us in prayer for the missions conference. Let me encourage you to do something tonight. Get right with God. Do not come into this coming week where there is something between you and the Lord. There's no way the missions conference, I don't care who the missionary speaker is, I don't care how cool the story is, how great the video was, it's not gonna touch your heart if there's something between you and God. Man, Jonah's got a major problem with God, and he is displeased. Who's he displeased with? With what God has done. Number two, we are disconnected from the ones God has sent into our lives. You know, sometimes we don't have a burden for missions because we're not reaching out doing anything for the cause of Christ and witnessing to anyone. Look at two verses on this, would you? Look at verse 2. I want you to see a really key phrase. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? This is not my country. You got me over here at Nineveh, but I'm telling you, this is, I don't want to see those people. I don't want to talk to those people. This is not my home. This is not my country. I just want to tell you something, Brother Scheller. God called me out here to college, but I'm telling you, California is not my country. You know what? It is when you're a college student here. During the time that you're here, listen, let me tell you something. I struggle with this state, but you know what? This is my state right now. And I need to reach my state. This is my city and this is my valley. Luke will tell you, Luke and I never drive back from LAX that we don't come into Antelope Valley. And it's kind of funny, who's gonna say it first? Luke or me? That's our mission field. That's our mission field. And you know what? This is my country. This is my place right now. If you are disconnected from those that God has placed in your lives, you're going to have a hard time connecting during missions conference. And look at verse 5. So Jonah went, notice the next four words, out of the city. I don't even want to be with those people. I don't want to associate with them. I don't want to have anything to do with them. You know why missions conference, we don't get all excited about give, go, and pray? Because we're disconnected with the people that God has brought into our lives. And number three, we are distracted by other things in our lives. Boy, does God teach Jonah a lesson. So Jonah's sitting on the side. He's just looking at the city. He's just saying, okay, God, you could still do something. You could still judge them and just wipe that city off. And while he's there, the Lord brings, those winds that come through, and that hot winds come through, and he's sitting out in the sun, and God gives him this gourd. And so he's sitting under the gourd, and he's kind of liking the gourd thing. You know, he's kind of liking the shade that it produces, and he's got a nice place to just sit there and watch, and God destroys the gourd. And look at verse 10 and 11, the last two verses. We get so distracted with other things in our life. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in the night and perished in a night. You know what? We can get distracted with stuff so quickly that comes in and out of our life. Then look at verse 11. Hey, Jonah. And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons, 120,000 children, that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. Hey, Jonah. You are more worried about a gourd than you are the souls, eternal souls of what I've created. Now listen to me. Next week is not going to be much of a give, go, and pray thing for you if you're distracted by something. Can I encourage you to do something, church? College students, can I encourage you to do something? Put everything off to the side. Take things that would normally distract you. You know, our whole college schedule changes. We shorten classes. We do things differently. I have a Monday night class. We don't teach it Monday night. Everything is centered on world evangelism and give, go, and pray. Can I encourage you to do something? Those things, and believe me, there will be things that will come up that could distract you. And you just got to say, you know what? I'm not answering that. How many times are you at a table, you're talking to somebody, and the phone rings? And you see the, and you, oh, what should I do? And you go like, you know what? I don't need to do that. I don't need to talk to them right now. That's what you need to do for the next week. You just need to get rid of the distractions. He is distracted by a gourd. He is displeased with God, and he's totally disconnected from the people that he was called to. If you've got any of those problems, next week ain't going to be a big deal. But if you take the spirit of a little girl that I want to show you about tonight, I think next week could be one of the greatest weeks of your life. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Kings chapter number 5. 2 Kings chapter number 5. I want to read these two verses. I want to have a quick word of prayer. I just want to share a few thoughts with you, tell you a story at the end, and we're done. 2 Kings chapter 5. It says this. Many of us are familiar with this story. The prophet right now is a man named Elisha. Elisha has followed Elijah. Elisha's a fiery, committed, all-in person. I just absolutely love when he was called. He's out there plowing in the field with 12 yokes of oxen. When he's called, he burns the oxen. I mean, Elisha is all in. He says, Elijah, let me say goodbye to my dad. Let me say goodbye to my mom. I'm burning my farm implements. There's no turning back. I'm killing a yoke of oxen. I am all in. And that's the kind of guy Elisha's always been. He's been an all-in guy. So he's the prophet right now. And there is another country. Ever heard of the country called Syria before? And now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, that would be the king, an honorable man, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. Wow, that's an interesting statement, is it not? That God gave him military favor. He was also a mighty man of valor. And if we stop the verse right there, we'd go like, wow, this guy is the guy. I mean, man, this guy's got the whole package. This guy is amazing. But everyone together, would you finish the verse with me? Everyone together. But. I want to share this with you. Go to the richest neighborhood in Antelope Valley. Go to the largest homes in Los Angeles. And know this, behind every one of those doors, there is need. There is need. Naaman, mighty man, honorable guy. I'm telling you, talk about military people. That guy is as sharp as a tack. Naaman, the name itself back then would have caused respect. Naaman. Yeah, Naaman, you just got one problem. You got leprosy. And do know this, folks. World evangelism and soul winning is about meeting a need. We're going to find about a little girl that says, you know what he needs? He needs the prophet. And I think Elisha absolutely is a picture of Jesus Christ. Know this, folks. I believe this in my heart. You got to believe this for next week. That what happens on this church campus next week is more important than anything that is happening in Washington, D.C. You guys got to believe that. That little girl has the answer for Naaman's need. Do you understand what we're doing next week? We are promoting the answer to every need on planet Earth. We are promoting the answer of Jesus Christ. And if there has ever been a time in the last 6,000 years of this planet that they need Christ, it is now. So that makes our world evangelism and our missions more important now than it has ever been. And I do believe what you said, Pastor. I believe there is so much going on right now and so many attacks. And that's because we got the answer. And Satan does not want that answer to get out. Let me encourage you to have the spirit of this little girl. Look at verse number 2, and then we'll have a word of prayer. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel. Everyone say it together. I just love this. Brought out of the land of Israel, everyone together, a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, oh, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, explanation mark. For he would recover him of his leprosy. All right, I just got to tell you this. I'm supposed to save this for later in the message, but I just can't. I just got to tell you right now. Hey, you know what? Up to this point, Elisha has not healed one person with leprosy. But that little girl knows. Elisha's God can heal any problem. I love that. Up to this point, Elisha has not healed anyone of leprosy, but a little prisoner, a little captive in a foreign country, a little girl knows, I know a God that could heal Mr. Naaman. I know a God that could do it. Have you ever seen that God heal leprosy before? Nope, but I know he can do it. And you know what? That's a spirit of a missionary. To go where no one has gone before, believing God can heal this city. God can heal this individual. God can heal that family. A little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would to God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. In verse 4, and one went in and told his Lord, saying, hey, this and this said the little maid that is in the land of Israel. Father, give us the little maid spirit next week. Matter of fact, start it tonight. Give us the spirit that this little girl had. And Father, and I just love it that her name's not mentioned. Because who cares what people know what missionary? What only matters, Father, is that you know the missionary. You know who this little girl is. By the way, Father, I think Naaman knew what her name was. We don't need to know her name. And Father, we're not having missions conference next week to big name people. We're having missions conference next week to send little maids all over the world to be a witness for the cause of Christ and to give them the answer that everyone has. Lord, I pray tonight, I thought Brother Furso in College Chapel today kind of kicked off our missions conference. God, may I just put another log on getting ready for next week tonight. Father, I pray the Holy Spirit will give us a little maid spirit in that missions conference for next week. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and God's children said, amen. Number one, so the maid's missionary message, number one, she understood her placement by providence. She understood her placement by providence. This girl's taken as a little captive. Now think about this. Remember Jonah? If there could have been anyone that could have been displeased, if there could have been a little disgruntled girl
I'm not with my mom and my dad. I don't like Syria at all. This is a terrible place. I'm a captive and I'm a prisoner and I've got to be the maid for Mrs. Naaman. I just want to go home and I just want to be with my friends back in Jerusalem. And I hate this. And it's not even my fault that we're in captivity. It's the older generation. And here I'm taken away captive. It's not my fault. It wasn't my sin. If there could have been somebody that could have had a legitimacy for displeasure, it would have been this little girl. But you see her going, no, God's placed me here. God in his providence has put me in this place. Now hear me. Every one of you have been placed. You that work in Antelope Valley, yeah, I did this job. No. Look at that job as God's providence of placement. Oh, Brother Shelley, if you only knew my family. Look at the family that you have. It's providential that you are the salt and light in your family. It's providential that you have that neighborhood that you, oh man, Brother Shelley, don't go to the neighborhood thing. I'm telling you already, we're about ready to put the for sale sign on this today. We're out of this. No. Maybe that's a providential place that God has you. And college students, you got to believe that not only does God have you here right now, but listen to me. This coming week, college students, teenagers, ask God for that providential placement. Now, your name may never be known. It's not about this girl's name. We'll never know what until we get to heaven. But she was providentially placed, and she knew it. She didn't say, I should not be here. She said, I get to be here. And I want to tell you this. Being a missionary is the absolute coolest thing in the world to be. And I think sometimes we go like, okay, so you're not real academic? No. You're not too musical? No. You don't look like you have much athletic ability either. What's your grades? C minuses. Hey, you know what? You could be a missionary. I think missionaries ought to be the best. Amen. Would to God the best musician in this auditorium would go to a foreign field to play. Would to God the sharpest, keenest mind here, the highest GPA. You know what? We may not need you in Seattle as much as we need you in the Congo. And God as well. You know what? It is so sad. It's like, oh, West Coast, that's kind of that little mission school, you know. Yeah, they could be missionaries. I just want to tell you something. This young lady knew, I'm in the coolest spot in the world. I'm in Syria, and I'm in Naaman's house. Oh, this is like too cool to be true. She understood her providential placement of where God put her. Providence may have paid. It had to be tough for that little girl to be separated from her family, but will always have a productive purpose. I want you to know, wherever God places you, there may be affliction and there may be some hard times, but know this, if God has providentially placed you there, it's going to be productive and God's going to do something. She knew she was better off than Naaman. You know, not many people know me like Naaman, but I got to tell you one thing. I'm sure glad I don't have leprosy. And I want you to know, you got the answer, friend. And when you come up to that big, rich home, know this, that if they don't have Christ inside that home, you got way more than what they got. And it's so important to see that. Number two. Number one, she understood her placement by providence. Number two, she used her position to proclaim. Okay, so what kind of position did she have? A servant's position. And I do not know of a better way to get the gospel in than by serving. You look for opportunities to serve.
And when you have a servant's heart and you open that up, what better way to proclaim? All believers in Christ have the good news to share. Lowly positions can make large differences for Christ. Don't you just love this little girl? What does she do? And she waited on Naaman's wife. She's a little servant. That's all she did. But she used the influence that she had from the position that God gave her to proclaim the good news. Let me encourage you to do that. Number three, she urged him to pursue the prophet. She urged him to pursue the prophet. I love, she said unto her mistress, oh, this is what she need. This is what Mr. Naaman needs to do. Captain Naaman, would to God that my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Everything she had, everything she could do, everything she believed was for the healing of another individual. Her mind was completely not, oh man, I just wish I was back in Jerusalem. No. Man, God's placed me here. My greatest burden is Captain Naaman's health. I just love it. And she urged him to pursue the prophet. This is what he did. Her faith and love were the tools that God used. The power of the humblest individual is used mightily by God. So I want to close by telling you a story. It was several years ago. I don't know. I think it's about 14, 15 years now. I went on a missions trip to Brazil. And I went with another man from our church, and it was about a 12-day trip. And the majority of the days, I think it was 6-7 days, we were in São Paulo going to different missionaries and having services, really just a great time. But the last 4 days of the missions trip was to go to a little outside town called Campo Grande, Brazil, where we were supporting, now I'm going to say a term and then I'm going to clarify this term. We were supporting a single missionary girl. So I want to stop and say this. I do not believe there's such a thing as a single missionary, because I think God goes with you. And you're never going to be by yourself. By the way, Brother Furstall talked about that in chapel today. But wherever you go, you say, well, I'm not married. You know what? God's going with you. And you'll never be single. But we went and saw this single missionary. Her name was Sheila Dull. Pardon, Brother Scheller? Dull. Like not sharp? That's right. Her name was Sheila Dull. And you know what? When she was a college student, that was a little bit like what she was. I mean, she kind of, you know, I mean, there was nothing you ever heard about her. She went all 4 years. You never really, you know, Sheila Dull, you know. Oh, I think I know the girl. Yeah, there wasn't anything outstanding about her or anything. But I'm telling you something. She had a little maid spirit. So we went over to Campo Grande to check her out. Now, she was working with a couple other church planters that were kind of on the edge. I'm sure they're retired now, and that was their last place. They had been in Brazil for a couple decades, and there were two families starting a church, and they were a little bit older, and I don't want to talk bad about them at all or anything like that, but I'll just tell you this. Anything that was happening in that church plant was happening with Sheila. So I'll never forget, we were walking down a dirt road, and Sheila wanted to take us down this dirt road just kind of see the village and everything. So we're walking down this dirt road, and as we're going, and I got my friend with me, his Fred, and we're going down this dirt road, and we stop at this field. And this field's got brush and bushes and everything, and it's probably about an acre size. And she stopped us, and she said, Pastor Scheller, Mr. Carlson, could you see a volleyball court in this plot of land? Well, not really. I don't know. I mean, boy, there's going to be a lot of cleaning up here. I said, well, you know, Sheila. Yeah. She said, you know, volleyball's really big in Brazil. And whenever you just bring out a volleyball net and a volleyball, teenagers come from everywhere just to play volleyball. I said, wow. She said, could you see a volleyball court here? And I guess, well, Sheila, if you can, I guess I can. Yeah, I could guess I could see it. She said, good. Before you got here, I bought two machetes. Fred and I kind of looked at each other. I think this afternoon, if we come out and start cutting everything down, teenagers will come from everywhere, and I think we could make a volleyball court. I think within hours, I'm going, whoa. I said, I got a net. Do you have a, yeah, I got a ball. Okay, let's do it. So for the next 3 hours, with about 20 teenagers, we cleaned that whole lot out. She got permission from the owner of the property. We got a volleyball court up. We're playing volleyball in about three and a half hours. There's like 20 teenagers there. After that's done, Sheila gives a testimony. And you know what happened, Pastor? Not one got saved. That week. Sheila begins to give us reports every week of teenagers that are getting saved at the volleyball court. It's like, that's the coolest thing in the world. The day we were there, nobody got saved at the volleyball court. But in the weeks and months to follow, almost every week, she gave a report of another teenager getting saved. She's got that little maid service. Next day, we were walking past this area of Campo Grande. It was like a YMCA thing. It had a weight room. It had basketball. Basketball's huge in Brazil. And it had a swimming pool. And Sheila says, Pastor Scheller, I teach swimming lessons there. Matter of fact, I just led two twin girls to the Lord last week. I said, really? Are you a swimming instructor? Well, no, but I know how to swim. And they said that they needed help, so I thought I could teach them how to swim. I said, that's the coolest thing in the world. And she said, every Thursday afternoon, I go over and teach young girls how to swim, and then I get a chance to bring them over to my house for Bible study, and I got to meet the two twins. They were like 13 beautiful girls. They both had received the Lord, and that day that we were there, I couldn't understand Portuguese, but that day that we were there, Sheila was talking to the mother about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I just thought, this is the coolest thing in the world. She doesn't even swim. Or she does, she should swim, but she wasn't an instructor. She didn't have a license, you know. That could be a little dangerous there. That would be the Little Mermaid spirit there. But anyways. I'm going like, wow, this is incredible. The day before we leave, Sheila says to me, she says, I want you to know before you leave tomorrow night, we're going to have a concert. I said, we're going to have a what? We're going to have a concert in my garage at my apartment. You saw that garage? I said, yeah. She said, I've been inviting people for a month to come. And she said, and I said, well, what kind of concert's going to be? She's going to be piano. Oh, okay, so now I know I'm not a part of this thing, okay? I said, Sheila, do you play the piano? She said, I know 5 songs. And I said, whoa. She says, pray they don't ask for an encore, you know? I said, Sheila. She says, oh, here's how we're going to do it. I've invited everyone in my apartment complex to come to the garage, and we're gonna start. I'm gonna play a song, and then Mr. Carlson, I'm gonna ask you to give a testimony, and I'll interpret for you. Then I'll play 2 more songs, and then I'm gonna give a testimony, and then we'll play another 2 songs, and then you're gonna speak, and I'm gonna interpret for you. And I said, okay, let's do it. I said, who's gonna come to her garage? She's got a little stand-up piano. 38 people are in her garage. It was the coolest thing, and then her garage was so small. We got 38 people in there. We all do the thing. At the end, I give a simple gospel message. I have no idea what Sheila says, but I see 3 hands go up, and she goes out with those 3 people and leads them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thinking, okay, this is like the coolest lady in the world. I love this girl. I mean, we walk past a lot, and she says, we could do volleyball here. I'm teaching swimming at the YMCA thing. You know what? I'm going to have a concert. You know what this little girl did? This little single missionary's got that little maid spirit. Amen. And it's like, you know what? God's placed me in Campo Grande. So I'm going to use everything that I have for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Next week, here's what you ought to be thinking. God, I could do this. You know, Lord, maybe you could use this. You know, God, maybe I can, hey, first missions conference I was ever in my life was at college. First one I'd ever gone to. In all the churches I was saved in and everything, we never had missions conference. First mission conference, I gave my motorcycle. I had a Yamaha 175. Some guy from Mexico says, I don't know how to get from village to village. And he said, all I need is a motorcycle. And I'm telling you, during that missions conference, I'm a college kid. All I got, the only thing I own in my life is my Yamaha 175. And God said, give it to that missionary. And you know what? That was like the coolest thing in the world. At the end of that, I said, I think I got your motorcycle.
He said, really? Where is it? Well, let me take you to the parking lot. It's in there. And I signed the title over again. And that was like, I'm a freshman in college. And that was like the coolest thing in the world to give that missionary that one Yamaha 175. You know what? I just want to encourage you, man. Have that little maid spirit. And just say, next week, God, I want you to work in my heart. I want you to work in my family. And by the way, moms and dads, I go all across the country. You know, the three biggest reasons why students don't come to West Coast: money, miles, and mama. And that is true. Parents are one of the three biggest reasons why students don't come here. You parents at Lancaster Baptist ought to give your kids, the greatest thing I could think of next week is that your children would walk the aisle and surrender to the mission field or in their classroom and surrender. Moms and dads, you ought to pray for your children that they'd go to the mission field, that God would use your children for the cause of Christ. I'll tell you why Marilee and I and Luke are here. We're here because of a prayer request of Jesus Christ. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he had sent forth laborers. He sent little maid to Syria to do the cause and the work of God. And I guarantee you, man, he's got something special for you. Let's get rid of the stuff that's causing distractions and displeasure. And let's say, dear God, give me a little maid spirit this coming week.